So then Arrow finally decides to get off his ass and work, right?
You better work, bitch. Meanwhile, Aro, I don't know if he's in London. Is he in London?
I feel like there was a shot of the Big Ben or something.
Dude, beats me. Okay.
They're somewhere.
So they're going after a vampire named Toshiro, who's one of Carlyle's friends. And Toshiro says, I'm not with Carlyle. I refused him. You know, I would never go against the Volturi. They're in like a freaking alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's terrifying. But Aro reads his thoughts and sees that Carlyle still seems to be expecting him. So the Volturi end it. They kill him. And Caius says Carlyle is ensuring his own destruction. Sad, isn't it?
Whoa. So in the living room, as they should be doing, because the Volturi are coming for nefarious reasons, the gang sits down to do a little strategy session. And so Edward's like, listen, Jane and Alec are going to try to take me out first because he can anticipate their moves. And so Garrett says it's too bad that they all don't have Bella's shield. And Tanya's like, well, she could try to project it. And Kate says her powers used to just be in her palms. Her like electrifying powers used to just be in her palms, but now she can radiate it over her whole body. So Bella like crushes her hand with her newborn strength and is like, how? Help me.
So yeah, we get a little practice sesh where Bella's learning how to use her powers and Kate tells her to visualize her shield.
This happens way too quickly.
It happens so quickly.
Mm-hmm. She's not like other vampires. She's
right.
Incredible. So she's like, yeah, just visualize your shield. Like, what color is it? What shape is it?
And what's picture it smell like?
Expanding. Yeah. So Bella projects her shield like 3 inches away. And it basically is just kind of like a blurry kind of glow. Is the effect that they've gone for.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And Kate is like, seems like you need something to motivate you. So Edward like steps up. He's like, all right, I guess that's me. He holds out his hand and Bella's like, I don't think I'm ready for that. And Kate zaps him. He immediately like falls to his knees and she's like, I told you I wasn't ready. And then Emmett just goes, dude, you're not motivating her in the corner. And Edward's like, do you want to try, buddy? Yeah. Love the comedic relief.
It's good. Emmett's such a king in this.
Yeah. So Bella projects her shield again, but it's like not far enough. And Kate like zaps Edward's neck. So Kate says like, oh, it seems like you lack incentive. Maybe I should go see if Rooster is awake. See if she wants to hop in.
Bella's like, I don't care about that bitch.
Yeah. She's like, whatever. So they go for one last round. This time it's on full power. And Edward like gives Bella this look that I thought was very funny. And I was like, oh, Robert Pattinson having fun.
It is really funny.
This movie, I think, probably has the most comedy out of all of them, which is kind of shocking.
It's weird, but I'll
even
take it.
Though,
yeah,
the plot, you know, nonsensical, right. But the way that it, the choices that are made, like I was engaged.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, oh, a cottage, like, oh, we're killing him. The baby's crazy. It was like enough.
It's very watchable
flavors in the pot that I could like dig in. You know.
Yeah. I think, I mean, spoiler alert from my rating, potentially, I guess, but I think this is probably my second favorite movie in the franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
So yeah, they go for one last attempt. Bella projects her shield. She keeps her eyes focused on Edward. Kate zaps him and he is able to withstand it. He's not brought to his knees. He says, yeah, it's painful, but it's bearable. So Alistair, who's just like standing in a tree watching this, as vampires are wont to do, he's in shock. Everyone is very pleased. And Bella's like, okay, let's go again. And Edward's like, great, Emmett, your time to shine, buddy. Step on up.
So So that night, Bella reads the poem Lotus Eaters by Lord Tennyson to Rodeo Clown in bed until she falls asleep. Just as she's about to get up, Rochester asks Bella if Jasper and Alice ran away because they're all going to die. And I'm like, I know she has the brain of, I don't know, like a 30-year-old man right now.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, she has no personality.
No.
Like, she hasn't been nurtured.
Nope.
Yeah, she just doesn't have any, like, she's basically a robot at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you ask me to name one of her character traits, I don't have one.
We don't
know anything about her at all.
Nope.
She's passive.
Yeah, she's
calm.
Alive.
She likes to bite Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's a character
or not.
Oh, she's so into it. She bites Jacob constantly.
In the book?
Yeah. Even with her fully developed brain, she's like... Just so scared.
That's like flirting when you're in middle school and you're like, I'm going to trip you in the hallway.
Yeah. She likes... Yeah. She likes his body.
Wait, that's crazy.
So... But wouldn't that like turn... someone?
No, so only the we learn when they find the other hybrids, only male hybrids can turn people. The other venom,
of course.
Yeah, classic. Right?
Yeah, so she can't like Renesmee can't make other vampires. Only men male hybrids can.
Wow.
Right?
She's just good for breeding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephanie Meyer, I have some words for you now. This whole thing
is fucking insane.
Yeah. So she's like, is this be-? And she also says earlier on, she's like, oh, do we have to go do this because like you're in trouble? Like she just has these random quips that are like, oh, did I cause World War III?
Like, am I the problem?
And she's but, you know, 3 weeks old.
Right, am I the problem? It's me.
It's me.
So Bella's like, no, they left to keep us safe. I'm never going to let anyone hurt you. Meanwhile, this is the first time she's ever read her, like, a bedtime story.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's, like, the first time they've ever spent more than, like, 1 minute together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in the living room, Bella, I guess Ragnarok is now sleeping or whatever she does at night.
But yeah, scaling the walls.
Yeah, no, she sleeps. But yeah, I'm just imagining her like up on the ceiling.
Yeah.
Bella looks over the note that Alice left on that piece of paper from the Merchant of Venice and tells.
So fucking annoying.
It's so
that it's from the Merchant of Venice.
It's so annoying.
Like, oh, we read.
We all Bella reads is the classics. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, listen, she's talking to Edward and she's like, I feel like even though I could demolish a tank, I still feel mentally drained. And that's because these vampires can't fucking sleep. And the idea of it makes me want to die, that she can't just like take a little panic nap. She just has to be awake forever. And so Edward's just like, why don't you take a bath? And starts taking her clothes off. But Bella is still thinking about that note. And Edward's like, listen, Bella, I've had a bad habit of underestimating you. Like every obstacle that I assumed you wouldn't be able to overcome, and you did. And you're the reason that I have something to fight for. You're the reason I have a family. And they kiss, and Edward gets up to get the bath started for her. Bella flips Alice's note over again and sees then again that it's been torn out of a copy of The Merchant of Venice. And she races over to that bookshelf and she opens the copy of The Merchant of Venice. And inside, Alice wrote, J. Jenks, Seattle, destroy this. Bella says, Alice, again, like, cool. Thanks, Alice. This is super helpful. Super helpful. So Bella's like, oh my God, Alice made sure that only I would get this message because only her mind, only Bella's mind is safe from Aro.
I'm just like, are they all fucking dumb that nobody thought to check the book before this?
No, she didn't.
Right.
She didn't think about it at all.
Like, nobody.
No one was like, weird that they tore a page out of a book.
Right. Yeah.
Couldn't find any other scrap of paper.
Yeah. As if Alice doesn't, I mean, Alice does do things very intentionally and she's run away. You don't want to check that page in the book. And so then Bella just burns the whole book, which, fine, fine.
Yeah. So Bella then takes Jacob and Reservoir to see Charlie because, you know, they want to keep Charlie from coming by the house since it's full of vampires at the moment. And Jacob's like, okay, you know, I know that's what you told Edward, but whatever. Suspicious. You know, I'm just glad to get away from all those reeking bloodsuckers. And Bella is like very genuinely offended by this. And I'm like, mm-hmm. he has been like the most accepting in the world. Let him have his one little quip. And they,
yeah. You guys call him smelly all the time.
Yeah, yeah. They're constantly racist towards him.
Yeah. So he apologizes for his comment. He's like, but come on, like Dracula 1 and 2 are fucking creepy, dude. And like, they laugh. There's one brief moment of happiness in this horror show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they get to the Swan residence. Charlie and Sue are fully like relationship mode. But Bella leaves Jacob and Renesmee there because she has errands to run. Mm. Where does she go? To see Jay Chinks in Seattle.
She sure does.
Yeah.
And she goes to this like fancy restaurant where Jay Jenks is waiting for her. He says he always meets his private clients here. It's more comfortable than the office. And Belle's like, yeah, it's public too. Because his clients are vampires and he's trying not to get eaten.
I think in the book, though, it is in his office.
It is. Yeah, he has like two offices and one is like in quote unquote the ghetto. Steph, this part of the book is like really problematic too. The whole like how she describes the part of Seattle where the first office is.
Yeah.
It's just a really, it's all unnecessary, but yeah, it isn't, it's in his, it is in his office in the book because he has two offices, I guess.
Yeah. I just remember in the book, like Bella keeps like talking about how nervous he is and like sweaty and like she hears his heart racing because obviously he's usually terrified.
You know who he usually works with?
Jasper. The Confederate.
Jasper. Oh. So Jasper's done something to him that has absolutely scared the bejesus out of him. So he's just like pouring buckets of sweat. Yeah. Not wanting to mess anything up. And I also think he thinks that Bella might be Jasper's wife. There's a certain point where I think that he's afraid about because she's just Mrs. Cullen in the book. But yeah, that all gets left out in the movie.
So they meet and she's like, oh, what type of work do you do? And he says, oh, this and that. And I'm like, so you can tell that Stephenie Meyer has no concept of like someone doing something illegal and like meeting a lawyer. I don't know. And he's like, it's always different, which keeps it interesting. And Bella says, have you known Alice and Jasper long? And he's like, well, I've been working for them for over 20 years. And my late partner knew Jasper 15 years before that. He is unusually well preserved. If you know what I mean, he's a vampire.
Yeah.
He asks Bella if Jasper is enjoying his vacation. He didn't tell him where he was going, but he mentioned that he was leaving when he came by to place his order. And Belle's like, is the order ready? Again, Stephenie Meyer, no concept. She never talked to like a drug dealer or anyone who's done something clandestine in their life. And he is like, of course, I've never been late with a delivery. So he slides the envelope over to Bella. It has passports and a birth certificate for Jacob and Renesmee. Renesmee and Jacob, fake passport o'clock. Okay. Mm-hmm. Bella is clearly surprised. Alice's vision saw that only Jacob and Renesmee had a chance of surviving the fight with the Volturi. Her and Edward would not be joining them.
Whereas we know that she really can't have very clear visions about Jacob or Renesmee, but sure, go for it.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
But she's like, you know what? You had me come all the way down here so that my 5-year-old daughter, my 2-month-old daughter can go run off with a teenager.
And apparently the rest of us will die. And I'm fine. This is how I find out. So Bella brings Resveratrol home and sadly watches Edward play with that little demon. She goes and she packs a bag for Resume and writes her a letter. She says, "My dearest Ricky Ticky Tavi, I thought we would have I thought we would have forever together, but forever isn't as long as I'd hoped." And yeah, it's, apparently it was only a day. "I know now why Alice left me clues. It was to keep you safe. Everything you and Jacob will need is in this pack. Jacob will protect you, and he'll help you learn about the Takuna legends." So Alistair, who has watched her pack, walks up to Bella. Just
standing there. Weird.
Yeah, he's just standing there. Walks up to Bella and says it's a romantic notion that a righteous few can divide a great evil. She even had him believing him for a moment. She's like, "Good luck. You're going to need it." So he's like, out of there. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah. But before we can ruminate on that for too long, it's Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Who knew it was going to be a Christmas movie?
Yeah. My God. So it's Christmas at the Swan House, and Bella's looking out the window, and she's like, "The snow is sticking. The Volturi will be here soon." And Edward says, "We still have today." But Bella, you know, she knows her death is imminent.
Mm-hmm.
So she, you know, looks over at her dad and she's like, "I'm just glad that Charlie found someone to take care of him." Him and Sue, you know, living together, question mark. Which in some ways I'm like, your husband died not that long ago. And
oh, yeah. People talk about this all the time.
That's right. A little weird to me. But again, we throw it away. We move on. They sit down to open some presents.
Can't think about that.
Yeah. Bella and Edward give Charlie and Sue a 5-day fishing trip starting tomorrow. Obviously, they want to get him out of town for his own protection.
Yep. Or they could have just had the fight somewhere else.
Yeah, they could have just literally gone anywhere else.
Could have moved the fight, but we'll put them on a 5-day fishing trip.
The Volturi will meet you anywhere.
Anywhere. They're not anytime.
Fussed. Yeah. No. They'll come to you.
They've got time to spare.
But,
yeah. But yeah, so getting Charlie out of town, Jacob gives Ringmaster a bracelet that he has made for her. And this is a very consistent theme that Jacob loves making jewelry, which I think is so adorable.
He's a jeweler.
Yeah, he's a jeweler.
He's
a maker. He's a taste maker.
Just whittling away, making a little bracelet, making a little dream catcher, making a little necklace. Like he's creative. He has hobbies. And I love that in a man. I just wish it wasn't involved with this child.
Right.
It's a promise bracelet. Oh, yeah.
Is this not like, I feel like this really reminds me of, why can't I think of his name right now? Who's Rory Gilmore's first girlfriend?
Boyfriend.
Dean? Dean made her a bracelet.
Oh, it's Dean coded.
Yeah.
It's very like teenage boy. He's six. Yeah. Now we remember he's 16. Like, what else is he going to do? You know, he's like, "I'll make you a bracelet. I'm not in school anymore, I guess. I don't have a job. All I do is run around as a wolf all night trying to protect everyone and all the new little wolves."
So why are, well, this is just because Stephanie Meyer sucks, but like, it's literally the Quillu people in like, you know, modest houses, like, mm-hmm. wearing normal clothes, like, and then it's like the vampires are rich,
yeah,
and they're incredible, they're super smart.
But she, Stephanie Meyer goes further and says that they do not have modest houses; they're all like living in shacks and literally have zero clothes. So she makes it,
yeah,
like she doesn't even try to hide that stereotype.
Yeah, because it's even a thing. I think in like, I guess maybe whatever it's Jacob's perspective, where he talk about how like he has to be careful with phasing with his clothes because he can't afford to like buy a ton of
he doesn't have enough pants to keep doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in Breaking Dawn, I think, when he talks about it.
Yeah.
Thinks about it.
So
I hate that dynamic.
Yeah. Cause then he has like a little band that he like will put after he phases, he'll like wrap his jeans in this little band that he'll put on his leg. when he's in wolf form. So then when he transforms that's back, he has something to wear.
Always walking around without a shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. He's destroyed him.
It's not because Stephanie Meyer wants his like oiled up abs on the screen.
She no, does. There's I mean, no ulterior motives there at all.
No, not at all. Mm-mm.
Where were we?
So I think it's you at the we're at fire.
Right. The bracelet is given. And back at the Cullen house, the vampires and Jacob make a bonfire. And the vampires share their various like war stories throughout history. It's a big bonding moment, I suppose. And the Romanians talk about how when they ruled, they had everything. But they never put on white hats and called themselves saints. They were honest about what they were. They sat still for a long time. They didn't notice they were beginning to petrify. Perhaps the Volturi did them a favor when they burned their castles. And they've been waiting 1,500 years to return that favor.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Edward and Carlisle are having like a side chat. And Edward thinks about how all these people are in danger just because he fell in love with a human. But Carlisle's like, you found your mate and you deserve to be happy.
No matter what the cost.
No matter what the cost.
No matter what the cost.
To everyone.
The cost to everyone does not matter.
Never has.
But like, I guess the whole point of the scene is to be like, everyone here has something to fight for. Like, this was building up for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
So Edward takes a moment and thanks Carlisle for this extraordinary life.
I think I like this, like this life.
It's like the first time Edward's ever thought that. He's so self-loathing and suicidal. This is like, this is his, I think, this little life moment. Like,
yeah. What if he didn't, if he was not able to be with Bella, he would have killed himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So literally, like, this is the first time he's ever been like, I think I like this little life.
This little life.
Like, marched to his own death, and everyone that he's brought into this situation, he's like, I like it.
He's had to kill so many to get to this
he
point.
He truly has. So many people have been sacrificed. But he's like, I love it. It's sweet. And so Bella is with Ricky Tikki Tavi in a tent. And she has a locket with a picture of her and Edward in it. And it's engraved with more than my own life, because that's how much she loves the little demon. She gives it to Ragnarok. And then Bella tells her that tomorrow she needs to stay with Jacob no matter what, even if she tells him that he has to take her somewhere. And so Race Car starts crying. And Bella hugs her and tells her that she's going to be safe always.
Yeah. And now the time has finally come for the big face off with the Volturi. The snow has stuck to the ground. The Cullens and, you know, their various pals are on one side of the clearing. Garrett tells Kate that if they live through this, he's like, I'll follow you anywhere, woman. And she's like, oh, now you tell me. But then he's like, the redcoats are coming, because the Volturi appear on the other side of the clearing, all wearing their dramatic ass cloaks, walking at a glacial pace. I cannot get over how slowly everybody moves in this sequence, even though they're all vampires. Mm-hmm. They're just doing it for dramatic. The drama. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to make things a little interesting. But as they're walking over, Edward tells Bella that Aro is looking for Alice, because obviously he can read his thoughts. And Irina is shocked to see her sisters standing with the Cullens. The wolves also arrive at the scene. They join the Cullens. Like, Jacob stands next to Bella. We have this like very funny wide shot that shows just how far away they are from each other.
It's really far away.
It's kind of crazy. But obviously they can hear each other. Vampires, they can hear. It's fine. Yeah. But like, again, just for the drama. And Carlisle steps forward and he asks Aro to discuss this in a civilized manner like they used to. No laws here have been broken. And Caius is like, I see the child right there. Do you take me for a goddamn fool? And Carlisle's like, okay, She's not immortal. Do you not see the flush of human blood in her cheeks? And Caius just goes, artifice, in the most dramatic.
That was hilarious.
It's so good.
So Aro is like, simmer down. I will collect every facet of the truth, but from someone more central to the story. Edward, come on forward. So Aro holds his hand out for Edward. Edward gives one last look to his family before he slowly, again, walks over to Aro. And they're far. Like, we saw that wide shot. Everyone's standing there for several minutes.
Yeah.
You wrote why just for the drama?
Literally. Literally. Imagine how, I mean, obviously the Cullens aren't, but I just feel like the filter, Aro's like so bored. He's like, we're going to do this. Finally, we get to walk really slow.
Yeah, just for his own amusement.
Yeah.
So Bella tries to project her shield to Edward, but like she can't get it to stay like when he's that far away. Edward, you know, gives his hand to Aro. Aro relives the entirety of, you know, restaurant's life from conception to now. And he is bewildered. He's like, I'd like to meet her. So... Bella, Renesmee, Jacob start walking towards them, but then Bella like turns around and looks at Emmett, and Emmett's like, yeah. So he walks up and joins them. Got to get the extra muscle in
there.
Get the
muscle, yeah.
Yeah, and they again do a slow, dramatic walk across the fields.
So Aro is like, ah, young Bella.
Young Bella.
Michael Sheen is just like just chomping on the scenery. He's like, rah, 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 rah.
So fun. He's like, immortality becomes you. And then he lets out a crazy noise at hearing Renesmee's heartbeat. Can anyone like, wanna
like I can't do it.
Like it's crazy.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's insane. Absolute insanity.
Yeah. So Renesmee goes up to Aro's extended hand and says, hello. You can't have her say hello like an infant if she's supposed to be 25.
Like, hello.
Hello? Are you Aro? Like, it's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she touches his face and shows him visions of her life. And again, he goes, magnifico. And Aro proclaims to everyone that Ron Concomo is, in fact, half mortal and was created by Bella while she was still human. But Caius is like, impossible. And Aro whips his head around and he's like, do you think they fooled me, brother? What can you say to that? So they bring Arena forward and they're like, can you confirm this is the same child you saw? And Arena is like sweating and is like, I'm not sure, like this child's bigger. And she says, the Cullens are innocent and I take full responsibility for my mistake. They kill her like immediately.
Immediately, like immediately.
Mm-hmm. And Tanya and Kate try to go after them because like, their sisters just passed away. Like, it's insane. Garrett is holding on to Kate for dear life while she's electrocuting the shit out of him. And Zafrina blinds the sisters, and Edward tells them that the Volturi are trying to provoke them to attack. Like, if they pursue this, they're going to die. So the sisters relent, and Aro looks to Jane, giving her the signal. Jane incapacitates Edward, so Bella projects her shield, and he's able to get back to his feet. Jane looks around, like, trying to target others, but Bella has projected her shield over the entire crew.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure. She's this powerful now.
She's so powerful. It's been one day.
Yeah. No one's ever done it before but her. She's not like other vampires.
She's not like other vampires.
So Alex starts releasing this creepy mist, but Aro's like, has him stop. And Carlisle just goes like, no laws have been broken here. But Aro says the future of this child is unknown
and might pose a threat to their kind. Can we spare ourselves the fight today only to die tomorrow?
The drama, my God.
Yeah, he's aching for a fight. Mm-hmm. And so then Arrow gasps with delight, because who emerges from the tree line but the lady of the hour, the woman he's been waiting for, and a mm-hmm. Confederate soldier, Alice and Jasper, come skipping out of the tree line. And they go up to Arrow, and Alice says that she has evidence that Resveratrol won't be a risk to their kind. And then one of the Volturi just like gives Jasper a bitch slap just for fun. Just for funsies. They're like,
yeah, they do like a close shot of him just getting slapped for no reason.
They're like, we know what you did, Confederate soldier. She offers Ara her hand, and he sees her visions of restaurant in the future. Alice then is like, oh, it doesn't matter what I show you. Even when you see, you still won't change your decision. She turns around to like everyone else on her side and whispers, now.
As if Arrow can't hear her go, now. He's
yeah, he can hear everything. There's a vampire hearing, and she's right in, literally, they're touching.
Yeah.
I love how it takes them with like 5 minutes left in the movie. She's like, no matter what I say, no matter what you see, you still won't change your decision. Yeah, bitch. Like,
these people are dumb. Everyone knows this.
Yeah, they are dumb. They're really stupid.
Yeah. And this is where we really kick things off.
Oh my God. It ramps up.
Mm-hmm. Bella looks at Reformation one last time. And she looks at Jacob and she says, take care of my daughter. And Jacob runs away with Ransom on his back.
Mm-hmm.
Caius then says, get them. And Alice full on like roundhouse kicks Aro up into the air across the field. And it begins, you know, we devolve into pandemonium. The Volturi grab Alice. Aro is like, take her away. Carlisle then runs up to save Alice, colliding directly with Aro. And the next thing we see is Aro landing on the field. We see Carlisle's body land behind him, and Aro is holding Carlisle's head in his hands.
So shocking.
Insane.
Mo, please tell us what you went through when you saw this happen.
It happened so quickly.
But were you like, all of the Cullens are going to die at the end of this movie?
I really didn't think that, honestly. I was like, that's crazy.
So you weren't fooled.
No, I just feel like there was too much happiness at the beginning. Like this was Stephanie Meyer's magnum opus, where she was like, I finally get to live my dream. I'm married to the vampire. I have a baby. Like, I was just like, this is going to end. Like, it won't be bad.
Well, yeah, like, because there haven't been any consequences thus far. No, so it would have been insane for everyone to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shocking. But I was already like, all right, so we're going to wrap it up. Like, the happy ending is going to be
coming shortly. We'll just lose Carlisle and everything else. Yeah.
I did feel bad about Carlisle's presence in this movie, though, because I feel like he doesn't really do much, honestly. No. Like, he gets people together, but like, he doesn't really talk or like have any moments. So just kind of an unceremonious ending.
That's his big moment, is his disembodied head.
Yeah, right. His head getting ripped from his body and them lighting it on fire immediately.
Yeah.
So yeah, everybody charges forward, except for like the main Volturi members, who are just kind of like chilling in the back. They let everyone else do their fighting for them. And it's super chaotic. The werewolves and the vampires like work together to kill the Volturi members. We see Jane sets her sights on Jasper, but Bella actually shields him. So Alec then charges at Bella to like break her concentration, and Jane manages to incapacitate Jasper. And then Dimitri comes up, beheaded. Jasper, dead. R.I.P. So long to the Confederate soldier.
Yeah, less No one gives a fuck about that.
Yeah, get out of here, man.
Yeah. So Alec is then about to charge at Bella when Emmett interferes and kills him right in front of Jane. So
then we go to the wolves. Jacob is running through the woods, pursued by just one Volturi member. And Jane goes after Seth. And Felix kills him. That's sad. Leah howls out for her baby brother, and Jacob is heartbroken, but he has to keep running, and the Volturi vampire tackles them. He, like, manages to catch up, but Jacob and Renesmee somehow make it away, and Jacob actually beheads him in the process. Casualties are abounding.
But. Yeah.
Casualties are piling up, quite literally. Back on the battlefield, Benjamin sees the chaos all around and decides that he's going to put his own chaos in. And what he does is he does an insane Hulk smash on the ground, which actually splits the earth to its core.
Yeah, there's like lava.
There's like lava and there's a huge split on the battlefield. And so then they manage to push some of the Volturi into the gaping earth hole, right? They're like, great, we can just pull them in there. Esme is about to be dragged down into the hole by a Volturi member. So Leah jumps to her rescue, pulling the Volturi man off of her, but also falling to her death in the earth hole in the process. So now we've lost Leah as well.
And, like,
that's unfair.
Especially because Esme was always, like, trying to reach out to Leah, like, bring them food. Like, she was always, like, nice. And Leah never, never accepted anything from Esme. So then to see her come to, like, her rescue and then die because of it, it was
very sad.
She's like, I never should have helped this bitch.
Wait, so did Leah die or did Esme die?
Who died? Leah dies.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Leah died. Okay. So Edward is then being strangled by Dimitri. He falls down the earth hole too, but he manages to hang on for dear life. And then he then somehow flies out of the hole. I remember my husband was very excited when this happened. He was like, yeah! Because he was so upset about Carlisle and Jasper for whatever reason. And he rips Dimitri's head off. Alice then spots Jane, and she has set her target. The way that she stares Jane down, she's like, I'm ready for you, bitch. She runs straight for Jane, who can't use her powers because Bella is shielding her. So Jane starts to run away like the little bitch she is, because all Jane, the Pain Jane, only has her one trick pony. She can't actually fight. So she's like, holy shit, I am getting out of here. She starts to run away, and Alice jumps right in front of her. She drags her body and she throws her in front of Sam, who rips her tiny little Jane head off. And then finally, Caius joins the fight. They can't fight. The main Volturi members can't fight.
Yeah.
He is promptly taken down by the Denali sisters. Tanya splits his head off in a very gross way.
Yeah, she rips it by its like mouth. It's pretty nasty.
Yeah, they were really trying to let loose here in this scene, because this is like the least gory vampire saga that you've ever had. There's no violence. So Marcus sees the Romanians charging towards him and says, finally. This is so iconic. He's like, finally my death gets to come. Because he's really depressed as they split his body in half.
I can't remember if we had mentioned it on previous episodes.
Why he's so depressed.
Yeah, Marcus's backstory. He had a thing with Aro's sister.
They were deeply, deeply in love. His sister, Aro had a sister named Dita May that Aro turned into a vampire because he thought that she might be useful. He thought that she might be her talented, and her talent was just making everyone around her happy. And Marcus and Dita May were so deeply in love that they were kind of we don't really want to be a part of the Volturi anymore. And Aro knew this because he could hear their thought. He could hear their thoughts when he touched them. And so he knew this was happening, and he couldn't afford to lose Marcus, because Marcus is really valued. His power is sensing the strength of relationships. So he can test who would potentially defect on the battlefield. He's been able to test who would potentially join them. And so what he did to keep Marcus around is that he had his own sister killed. Marcus like never snaps out of it. Like they do a whole, Aro has a whole search, like pretending to search for Dina May's killer. You know, they never find the killer because it's Aro. It's actually Aro who's done it. Marcus never finds out, but Aro did not anticipate that Marcus would never snap back. And it actually freaked Aro and Mark and Caius out so badly that they had their own wives locked up in like a dungeon forever because they were afraid of their wives getting killed.
Oh my God.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. And so that's when Marcus, like Chelsea is someone who keeps them loyal. Like she enforces bonds. So like Chelsea works enough so that he won't leave, but he is like not, he wants
his
to
heart's
die.
Not in it anymore.
His heart is like dead. And so that's why we get the finally there, which you literally would not know unless you read the illustrated guide for year. But so for years, I was like, what is his problem? So then Aro finally decides to get off his ass and work, right? He's going to try to fight. And Edward and Bella go tight for him, right? They're like, he is ours. Aro tosses Bella right across the field with no effort at all, even though he has been sitting on his ass for like eons, right? He's like, I have strength.
Well, yeah, because like, isn't the thing is like, if they're old, like the older you get, the stronger you are type of thing?
I'm not,
is that a thing, or is that just in the Vampire Diaries?
No, that's not. Yeah, that's in the Vampire Diaries. It makes sense. No, the newborn vampires are the strongest, and they actually, the vampires will petrify if they sit around long enough. So I don't think that Aro's especially strong, but he is like his vampire strength, right?
Yeah.
And so he tosses Bella right across that field. Edward and Bella then hold hands like one last time, pretty much, before Edward picks Bella's body up and swings her around like a nunchuck, like a weapon. And she uses her little feeties to kick Aro. And then Aro and Edward have each other by the throats. Bella hops onto Aro's shoulders and starts trying to pull his head off. So then Edward kicks Aro in the torso and that head goes pop. It pops right off and Bella takes a torch to light it. And they're like, what?
Oh my God.
Like, it is wild.
Yeah. I can't explain to you like the pandemonium that ensued in the movie theater when this came
out. People were screaming.
Because like,
we didn't know what was happening.
None of this happens in the book. In the book, they meet in the clearing. They have a little convo and like, that's it. The end.
Yeah, they have
everybody walks away.
They have the conversation that we've seen. Alice and Jasper do come out.
Yeah.
And then the rest of what's about to happen happens. And then that's it. And we don't know. Alice doesn't show him any vision.
Yeah.
Aro just realizes he's lost and packs up and also throws Caius under the bus as well and is like, Caius, you're dumb.
Yeah. Dumb bitch. Funny. What are you talking
really,
about?
It's really funny, honestly.
Yeah. So yeah, like in the theater, everyone was losing their minds because it's like, you just killed all these people. Like, this did not happen in the book. What's going on?
I've had people tell me that they like threw up in the theater. Like,
oh my God. Someone said
they packed up. Like, I made a video like early on. This girl that I'd followed, her name is Amanda Just Five, and her name is Amanda Castrillo. And she made this video being like, if you saw Twilight in the movie theaters, was it like watching Avengers? Because she's like Marvel stuff. She's like, what happened during the fight? Were you guys all like losing your minds and screaming? And so I stitched it. I should probably like pin it. There were 8,500 comments on that video that I stitched. And the things that they said happened are people were fist fighting each other. Someone threw up. Someone passed out behind this girl. Like, yeah, people were like absolutely losing their minds.
Yeah.
One girl said she threw up and her mom had to take her home. And so her mom to this day still thinks all the Cullens died in that fight.
Oh my God. Yeah. It'd be like if they changed the ending of Harry Potter. Like,
I can't imagine being so like keyed up that I would vomit.
I think they were little. These were like little kids.
No, they were kids. Yeah. That's why I'm saying like
probably like hopped up on sugar and like eating a whole bucket of popcorn.
Too much popcorn. Yeah. And they're just like, bleh.
I think my mom and I were yelling because we just didn't know what was happening. But we were like the most low-key people in the theater. Like people were running wild.
Yeah. No, it was insane. Because after all this, they're like, psych.
Yes.
It was a vision.
Kidding,
it didn't really happen.
Kidding.
Everyone's still alive. We're all good. So, Yeah. Alice just goes, now you know, that's your future. Unless you decide on another course. And Caius is like, we can't change our course. The child is still a threat. And Edward is like, well, what if we could guarantee that she could remain concealed from the human world? And Caius is like, that cannot be known. But it can. Because then out of the tree line, again, we have all these people just like waiting in the tree line for their moment to shine.
In the woods, yeah.
Out comes Noelle and how is her name?
I used to know how to say it. I think it's Huelin.
Huelin, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out Alice and Jasper in their time away had been searching for another hybrid, just like reference over there. And they found one amongst the Tucuna tribes in Brazil. They found Nahuel. So he is like Renesmee, like half human, half vampire. His mother was seduced by a vampire and died in childbirth. His aunt raised him and he made her immortal. So Bella asks how old he is because everybody's been like wondering how much time are we going to have with Renesmee. But he's 150 years old. So he also like reached maturity 7 years after his birth and he hasn't changed since then. So everyone's like, phew. Thank God we get to keep this demon around forever. Aro asks about his diet. Like he says that he can survive on either a human or a vampire diet. Like it doesn't matter. And Marcus just goes, these children are much like us. This man's so tired. Poor guy.
He's so tired. He's so sad.
And Caius is like, but the Cullens. Okay, they're consorting with werewolves, our natural enemies, so we can still fight them. And Aro's just like,
shut up.
Yeah, Aro's like, sweetie,
no. In the book, he makes him look like such a, he's like, you're an idiot. He's like, these aren't even real werewolves. It's the middle of the day. And Caius is like, all right, fine.
Yeah, there's this whole thing in the book where it turns out that like the wolves are not actually true werewolves. They're just shapeshifters, mm-hmm. and that their chosen shape is form.
Which I feel like is clear from the beginning.
But there are other real werewolves out in this universe.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. And Caius is terrified of them. And so the Edward and Aro join together and shame the shit out of Caius. They're like, are you dumb? There's no moon out. Look at it. It's broad daylight. And I was like, you are a shameful piece of shit.
Everyone so dunk good. On Caius real quick.
They all dunk on him. And then the Volturi are like, bye-bye.
And they're like, and your haircut's dumb too.
Yeah, your hair looks like shit.
Yeah, get a toner, bitch.
Yeah. Just bleach and tone. Just need something.
You ever hear of purple shampoo?
So yeah, he's like, sweetie baby, no. There's no danger here. We will not be fighting today. Okay, I don't want my head hooking ripped off my body and burned. But he doesn't say that, obviously. Got to save face. But the Volturi start to retreat.
Yeah.
Aro takes one last look at Alice, but then also at Bella. And he says...
Yeah, he's her talent.
Yeah, he's like, such a prize. Mm. And off they go. So... The Romanians are like, we have them on the retreat. It's time to attack. But Carlisle's like, not today. All right. We're done here. So the Romanians yell that they're all fools. The Volturi will never forget what happened here. And everyone just kind of like giggles and starts making out with each other.
They're like, yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, how silly. So, mwah, mwah, mwah.
Of course. We have to finish up our happy ending. Back at the Cullen house, the witness vampires all say their goodbyes. And Rami Malek goes back to filming Mr. Robot. Edward and Jacob watch Riskified. I'm tapped out.
Yeah.
Edward and Jacob watch Raclette and talk about how <There we go. laughs> jump rope will be around for a long time. And Edward's like, I'm glad I'm gagging. Edward goes, nope. Edward is like, I'm glad she has you. Ugh. And Jacob has the audacity to smile and say, so should I start calling you dad?
Another,
I can't believe they did this to my boy.
And Edward's like, no.
I can't.
And they not, fucked him.
It's they not even in him. The book. They just made it worse for the movie.
Wasn't there like a thing Edward in the book?
It. Edward yeah. says, Jacob, my son. Like, yeah, they're about to like all be killed. Yeah.
And there's the thing where Edward reveals that like there's going to be a little bit of Jacob has some competition because Nahuel was looking at Renesmee like, ooh.
The only reason that Nahuel has been like, there is going to be a. So Stephanie Meyer said she's writing two more books in this universe, and you bet your bottom dollar there's going to be a Jacob, Ricky Tikki Tavi, Nahuel love triangle. It's all this bitch wants to do ever.
Mm-hmm.
So get do you guys ready think for it.
Part of the reason why she did this, like to have her be like young, is because so many of the like fans of the series and the movies are younger, and for them to be like, oh, like it's. Like, Jacob could be with me. Or do you think that's, like...
Well, I don't think the fans are that young, though.
Like babies?
Yeah. Like, 7?
No. She had this idea before Twilight was ever even published. She'd already started writing a sequel that didn't end up... That was called Forever Dawn. This was always endgame for her. There would be a little baby. And Jacob would imprint on the baby to save the baby. Because otherwise, the wolves would have torn the baby apart.
Yeah, she couldn't think of any other way to save
Renesmee. Maybe it should have happened that way.
Yeah, maybe she could have figured out another way for
maybe
that to
we should have let nature take its course on this one. And by that, I mean let the wolves rid the world of this demon.
No, Bella has to have a baby.
It has to happen.
Yeah.
So Edward's like, don't do that. Stop. And Bella comes up and Rosh, Kosh, Bagosh touches her face. And Bella says, yeah. They're all going to be together now. And Alice has a vision of their future. Grown up Rolos and Jacob together. The four of them, a happy family.
Absolute nightmare fuel. Like, truly, the fact that you would eat, it's nightmare.
Yeah. Also, the weird effects on her.
She can't. Uncanny. Alice can't have visions about the wolves. She simply can't.
Renesmee.
And that's why she didn't, like in New Moon, when Bella jumps off a cliff, she doesn't see her getting taken out of the water because Jacob takes her out of the water. Like, this is ridiculous. So to wrap this shit show up, Edward, we're back where it all started. Edward and Bella take back to their meadow. And that's where they're just going to chill now forever, is in this goddamn meadow. Bella is like, hey, Edward, can I show you something? So she closes her eyes and she lets her shield down and she shows Edward her thoughts. She made him a fan cam of their relationship set to 1,000 years. So many people are like, she made him a YouTube edit. She airdropped him. Everyone, particularly people who have not read the books, are always like, did she airdrop him a YouTube edit of their relationship? Because it doesn't look like how it should. She shows him her memories. And so it should really be just like all Edward. Right. Yeah. But instead, it's like this third person perspective of their relationship, which doesn't make any sense. And I've talked about this a lot.
Stephanie Meyer filmed this for me.
Exactly. It's like, hey, here's like, what Carlisle saw of our relationship. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And there's so many pictures of like her, like gaping maw, just like staring at Edward. And it's like, you don't know what this looks like. Like, this is not how your memories would be formed. And I'd have people say that they have memories like of where they see themselves. I don't know, but I don't specifically. No. So yes, she makes him a YouTube edit of their relationship and she airdrops it into his brain. the fact that the depression chair is in there is something else.
Yeah.
Like that she would be like, oh, hey, by the way, you fucking left me for 7 months and here's when I was catatonic.
Mm-hmm.
Eclipse gets one single shot before we jump right to the wedding night, and every single other time that they have had sex, because we know where Bella has her priorities.
Yeah.
And it's when it's what she's wanted from Edward from jump. And she's going to really make sure that this is like an NC-17 edit that she's giving him.
You know who's not in this edit?
Ragnarok.
Yep.
The baby. The yep. baby is not in the goddamn edit. Are you for real?
Doesn't get it. Depression chair gets a moment, but
yeah,
the ransom chair, none.
No, they've had the baby for like 2 weeks.
I think so. There's a little bit of a time at this point. It's been a couple. I think it's been a little bit.
It's been a few months.
It's been a few months.
Maybe like two.
she has the baby in August. No, she's the baby on her birthday. She's the baby in September.
Yeah.
And
it's after Christmas.
It's January. Yeah, it's so it's like it's January of 2007.
Well, at this point it's spring. They're like in the meadow.
That's right.
It's spring.
That's right. It's spring.
Yeah.
It's spring. So yeah, it's been a little bit, but not enough for Ragnarok. And I don't think Stephanie goes over.
They
this
need to spend more time together.
They haven't they clearly haven't been edit. With her. Rosalie's been sitting with her while they've been fucking in that cabin. And so Edward is like in shock at receiving this edit, this montage that he's just received. And she's like, I've been practicing. And she goes, now, you know, nobody's ever loved anybody as much as I love you. And he's
sorry.
Meanwhile, this is like my favorite line in the books. Like I literally like teared and cried when I read this the first time. And now I'm just like, wah, wah. And he's like, well, one exception. And so they kiss. And then he's like, can you do that again? And she's like,
and she airdrops him again.
She's like, no, she's like, we've got a lot of time. They're like forever, forever. And then there's a shot of the final line of the book, which does make me have like full body chills whenever I do see it fading out on the word forever. And then they do the black and white credits of every single person who's ever been in any of these movies. And it makes me cry every time. Cause I'm just like such a fucking loser. Like everyone like sobbed in the movie theater. Everyone was like, oh my God. Cause I think it shows
emotional.
The book pages. It shows the book pages too. Like, especially for each of the big three.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was too much. I still love that credit sequence. And I like that they like paid. I mean, God damn it. These movies, they're so ridiculous, but you forget like that they were such a huge cultural phenomenon that was coming to an end. Yeah. So I like that they put everyone in there who was ever in any of the movies. And then, you know, it's curtains for Bella and Edward. They walk into their own forever and God knows what they're up to. You know, it's not our problem anymore.
Divorced.
It's my
Oscar
hope.
Nominees.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
You know, we know that Kristen and Rob are just fine.
Yes.
And Taylor is doing
despite
fine as well.
It all.
Despite it all. Mm-hmm. Everyone's okay.
I do think that Edward is in for a rude awakening though when he actually is able to start hearing Bella's thoughts as she lets
theory.
Her shield down.
Ooh.
Because the whole reason that he fell in love with her is because he couldn't read her thoughts.
Yeah, they're going to get divorced.
So he's like, oh, she's so different. She's not different.
And she's like, why is she so horny? He's like, Harlot, shrug.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I can't believe we did it.
I can't believe we did it either.
All right, Mo, tell us your thoughts now that you've finally completed the Twilight Saga.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not what I expected.
No.
I think what I was expecting was more of like, obviously they're older than when Harry Potter starts, but I was expecting more of a Harry Potter vibe just from the series in general. Like, more details and like stunning scenes,
world
and really
building,
more world of a
character
story.
Development. Yeah. Sure.
Major like you have Hagrid, right? Who's like a huge part of the story, but they're like, we have Carlisle, and he
is it?
Pretends to be our daddy.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's wild. but despite. It's so complicated because like this isn't really my cup of tea. Like I didn't see it and I was like, I've been missing out on this.
No.
But it was interesting.
Sure.
It was interesting. And I think that more than anything, what I find so fascinating is like the Stephanie Meyer lore behind it all.
Yeah.
Because the thought that like she made Bella
in her own, like, to be Bella.
Her own, right? Image.
Like, yeah, exactly. And to be so enthralled and obsessed with, like, this idea of marrying a vampire and having this other, this, like, Quileute wolf man also vying for your heart. And
everyone, yeah, everyone in Forks High School, every single person, right, in the town was like, get it, get it, get it.
They don't even dwell on that. Like she goes on in the first movie, she goes on like the date with that guy. But like, we don't even get scenes where in any like high school movie where you're like in class and then you talk to someone. And it's just really hyper-focused on the Cullen family.
Because that's what Bella's hyper-focused on. She doesn't care about her human life at all.
The characters were like bad, like the way that they wrote the characters in the film were like,
yeah. And I would say that that's a lot of that is the fault of the screenwriter, who I just have Melissa Rosenberg, like, she, I know she's done a lot of great work, but not here. And she's the only person who kept their job, like, throughout. Like, directors changed, everything else changed, but Melissa Rosenberg wrote every one of these godforsaken scripts, and I can never forgive her.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to adapt books. I don't know. I've never done it, so.
I've never done it either.
I think I could have done a better job.
But I did like.
She slayed with Breaking Dawn Part 2. I like what she did with The Vision. Like, that would have been so boring if they'd kept it the same. She, you know, she ate that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I did enjoy this movie more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
Because after part one was the horror show.
When I watched all these movies in 2021 with my husband, after Breaking Dawn Part 1, he's like, I won't continue. He said he was going to stop. And I was like,
I won't be continuing.
He was like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. Breaking Dawn Part 1 is such a piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's so bad that you can only go up.
Truly. Yeah. And even though this one, again, it doesn't have much of a plot to it. It's a lot of kind of sitting around and waiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they did manage to keep it interesting. I think the dialogue was definitely stronger than I've seen in the other ones.
For sure.
And yeah, I think that the fight fake out was a very good tool cinematically.
So good.
Because again, if it was just everybody meets up in the clearing, we have a quick chat, and then we peace out.
What in the hell?
What a snooze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do think it's probably the second best film out of the entire saga after New Moon for me.
Yeah, I feel the same. Twilight would be under... Twilight is under Breaking Down Part 2 for me, maybe just a little.
Mm-hmm.
Twilight's a mess.
Which movie is the one where... what's the main plot after the first movie? Is it that Edward she leaves Jacob?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that New Moon?
Yeah.
I liked New Moon.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
It's a gorgeous movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, really having it focus on, like, Jacob and Bella. Like, you could just get to know more, and it's not constantly about, like, can they or can't they, and, like, oh no, like, there's this crazy thing happening in a century's war. But then there is, like, later on.
Yeah.
It's just, like, directed really well, and it's beautiful to look at. And, like, the device that they did for when, like, the October, November, December, like, the spinning chair is, like, iconic. Her depression chair. Like, it's just, like, very well done. It was just very well done. And
at the end, they're in Italy, right?
Yeah.
When he, like, opens it. I like that scene.
Yeah, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it's so frustrating because I'm like, Stephanie, see what you can be like, what you can do when you're pushed beyond just writing about Bella and Edward.
It's also the best book. Yeah, it's also the best book, for real. Yeah.
Like, when she gets beyond writing that drivel, there's actually interesting things happening in New Moon. Like, it has a plot and a story that, like, things develop because she's not focusing on this, like, insane relationship that
she can't help herself. Right. She is in love with Edward. Like, she has said that she is.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But when I was talking about the end of this movie with my boyfriend, he was like, because, like, they find out there are other children, like, on Konkamo, and I'm just like, I can't believe that they were just like hiding, like, just like chilling, like, hanging out, like, no drama. And he's like, yeah, they weren't being like messy bitches the entire time. They like know how to be discreet. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I mean, really the Cullen coven or whatever is so messy.
They're a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah.
And the person that's leading them is 23 years old.
I'll never get over the fact.
He doesn't look 23.
No, because Peter Facinelli is like 36 when he was playing this role. That's why. I mean, he started off at 36. He's 23.
Yeah, they definitely like aged up Carlisle and Esme in the movie.
It was a good idea. I think it was a good idea. It would have looked so terrifying. Yeah.
It would have been weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so imagine what they're all seeing. When in Twilight, when Jessica Stanley is like, yeah, and like the doctor has all these foster children and like they're all couples. Yeah. Like,
it's what a are fresh college grad
saying about this. Yeah.
Right. Right.
It's crazy.
He's just collecting foster like children? Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and your 26-year-old wife are going to foster all these kids?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Because Esme is 26 canonically.
Yeah.
And then I guess Rosalie would have been in her 20s, right?
She's like 21. I think her and Emmett are both 21. Jasper's like 20. And Alice is also like 19 or 20. Edward's the youngest canonically because he's 17.
Yeah.
He's also the biggest drama queen. So that tracks.
For sure. But he's like the quietest, but like the biggest.
He's a nightmare. He's their problem child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, at least Rosalie, she knows what she's about. Yeah. She's honest and straightforward about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So is Emma.
I really liked her in this movie, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish they'd given her more.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's a great character.
Yeah. Well, if we would like to, our lovely, incredible intern Kate did gather all of our rankings for the previous
amazing
films. So we can go through them and then, you know, give our final ranking.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For Twilight, Mo, you gave it a 6 out of 10. Mm-hmm. I gave it a 6.5. And Sarah, you gave it an 8. For New Moon.
you go, what?
That was in 2021. I'm a different person now. I was like, 6.5 is generous.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
For New Moon. Me and Mo both gave 8.5. Sarah, you gave a 9.
Great.
So we're pretty closely aligned there. Eclipse, both myself and Sarah gave a 6. Mo gave a 5.
Yeah.
And
tracks.
Breaking Dawn Part 1. Mo and Sarah gave a 3. I gave a 4.
Okay.
With that being said, my rating for Breaking Dawn Part 2, like I said, I do think it is the second best film for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's nearly as good as New Moon. So I'm going to give it like a 7.5.
See, I would like to give it a 7 or a 7.5, but so we need to just disregard my Twilight rating. That was a different person. She was
We don't know her.
She was not jaded.
You were like 10 out of 10.
That was Twilight talk. That was Twilight talk. She's not here anymore. She left the building. I would definitely give Twilight a 6 or a 6.5.
Yeah.
And I would give Breaking Dawn Part 2 a 7.
Yeah.
Because it's really, like, it's not as good as New Moon at all, but it's still better than the rest of them.
I'm honestly surprised that I, like, stand by the ratings that I gave. So
I stand by all. I just don't know what happened with Twilight. I was on one. I told you it was my first podcast appearance. I was like, the followers will be listening and they're going to. And I'm like, fuck that shit.
It's understandable.
Yeah. And then Breaking Down Part 1, 3. Trash.
Yeah. 3.
Yeah. I had lost my fear at that point. I was like, listen.
So I think I was fluctuating between a 7 and 7.5, but I think I'm going to give it a 7. Honestly, like I said, it was interesting. Like, still crazy, crazy happenings, but like, my attention was grabbed.
Yeah.
I'm deducting that like half point because the CGI is so bad.
Yeah.
That's
very fair.
It's inexcusable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my extra half a point goes to the laughs. I had a lot of laughs in this one.
Lots of laughs.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, the extra half point goes to Michael Sheen.
Yeah.
Bellissimo.
Ah, Bella. So
he like he walks forward. He's eating a cannoli.
Magnifico.
They're not even Italian.
This Greek man cosplaying.
Magnifico. Yeah, they've come from all different parts of the world, these people. And they're like, magnifico, a pizza pie, a bacciano, spaghettios.
They go into the lair in Italy and everyone's like having gelato.
And then there's like throwing it up because they can't digest
it. Oh my god. Oh, I forgot.
There's just salami everywhere.
Oh, it's a meat. It's a cat meat.
They go. They go in to the lair, okay? And Aro's wearing a Nona's little meatball shirt.
Oh, it's a meatball. I love it. I wish we could eat. I wish we could eat. This is probably so offensive to Italian people.
I feel like you're doing like a Borat impression right now, but for Italian.
Yeah. No, it is that extract. It's like Mario Brothers. Yeah. And Luigi and Mario. Yeah, they just play Super Mario Brothers like all day. They're like Italiano.
Yeah. Well, they don't spend that much time actually, you know, out and about in Italy.
They don't.
Yeah. No, so they don't know anything about
dungeon.
It.
No. But they, I love that they incorporated it. Like, Aro's like super. He's like, magnifico, bellissima.
What the fuck?
Yeah, the Volturi are so funny. A great addition.
Always my favorite. They're whenever, maybe that's why New Moon and Breaking Point, Dawn Part 2 are my favorites. Like,
yeah.
Whenever, yeah, they're in it, but Aro's not really in it in Eclipse. So, like, that's not, they don't all come. But like anytime those top three are on the scene, they're like so funny. I love them.
Yeah. The Three Stooges.
The Three Stooges. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Wow. I can't believe we did it, you guys.
We did it. You guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been such a joy. I'm like so sad that this is over, but hopefully I can weasel my way back on here somehow, way, someday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now we have to do the Miss Americana.
Oh my God, I would love to. Oh my God, I would love to. There's so much we could say. This has been like the greatest, like to know that there is like always another one of these coming. It has like given me such, when I got the email that in the subject was just, it's time. I was like, oh.
I do have a penchant for the dramatics.
It was good. I really did like gasp aloud. I was like, I felt like I was in Breaking Down Part 2. I was like, the snow is sticking to the ground.
Yeah.
So just thank you for allowing me to be part of this journey. It's been a wild ride.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for joining us, for like donating your time.
Oh my God.
Sharing anytime. All your knowledge with us. It's truly like, these have been some of my favorite episodes to do. So we are like so grateful that you have joined us through this entire journey, but definitely anytime. Won't be the last that we see of you on this podcast.
I hope not.
Yeah. It's been such a pleasure, but now we can look forward to being on your podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Anytime. Oh my God, if you would even like dare to come on our pod, I would be so happy.
Of course.
I know Amanda would be so happy too. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, listeners, if you have not checked out Sarah's podcast yet, Actually Obsessed, I don't know what you're doing, but get your priorities straight and go.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. And thank you. I said it on one of the podcast launch, but I'll say it here. Christina like did a tutorial with me on how to edit and recorded the Zoom, and Amanda and I like still look at it every day because we alternate. One of us
I'm
edits
glad
every
that
other week.
Any of it was helpful.
All of it was helpful. Oh my God, literally. It's like, so you guys are amazing. Thank you for helping me when I had all my podcast questions. And yeah, it's called Actually Obsessed. We're not very organized. This drops on the 27th.
Yeah, it comes out on
Wednesday. Yeah, the last Wednesday.
So yeah, so not the day after that. So on the 28th, our episode will be about New Moon, the book.
Ooh,
my God. So it's, you know, but we spend the whole episode just trying to get through what the plot is. So
yeah.
If you want to listen to an organized podcast, please just stick with this one.
No,
wait, so what
is
it happen?
It's a good companion podcast.
Yeah.
We don't take any notes. We go in and we're like, oh, so wait, it begins with what? Like, I don't know. So if you want just like absolute chaos, you know, try it out, but otherwise
I love Incredible.
Okay.
I will be tuning in for sure.
Yes, me too.
And would you like to tell our lovely listeners where else they can find you?
Yeah. So you can find me at @SarahElizabeth_talks on TikTok and on Instagram at the same name. And then our podcast is actually Obsessed Pod on Instagram. So yeah, I mean, that's where you can find me. Oh, and I think I have an email, saratalks327@gmail.com. Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you.
This is so fun. It's such a nice way to spend my Saturday. Honestly, talking about this is so fun.
The joy of my life. It made my whole weekend. So thank you.
We're honored.
Honored, yeah.
And if you want to find us on social media anywhere, you can always follow us on Instagram @MoviesThatRaisedUs. You can follow us on TikTok @MoviesThatRaisedUsPod.
You can follow us on Twitter you can follow us on X @ MTRU_pod. And you can always send us a good old-fashioned email. And if you're really like, I can't get enough, I'm at the edge of my freaking seat, you can always subscribe to our Patreon. It's only $5 a month and you get premium content. You get to vote on a bonus episode. You get the Discord. You get our love and affection. No, just kidding.
And of course, feel free to head to the link in our bio and in the show notes to donate to Move to Higher Ground. We will be running our donation matching through today, March 27th, through to April 24th.
Yes. Go ahead, make a donation, send us a screenshot, and we'll be able to match it. And you'll also be entered in a giveaway for some MTRU pod merch. So,
yeah. And that's a wrap on I Can Fix Him March. What a time.
Really, I really like the lineup. I feel like we kind of started off with a very rough draft of what we were trying to accomplish. And I feel like it just grew to be maybe a landmark theme, maybe a theme we'd have to do again.
Yeah, potentially. There's so many I Can Fix Him movies, even beyond the realm of monsters.
Definitely.
So, yeah, if you enjoyed this theme month, would love your feedback. Let us know. And, I mean, we got another theme month coming your way in a mere week. So, excited for that one, too.
And with all that being said, I'm Mo.
And I'm Christina, and our theme song is by Garrett Schmidt.
Bye.